everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation, and my amazing guest is Elizabeth Carmack from Your Highest Light. She has been my life coach the last 3 years, I would estimate, 2.5 years. So Elizabeth has been a saving grace on so many levels to me. So I wanted Elizabeth to come on and talk about a burnout and a life coach and tips to help out healthcare providers, not just midwives, because I think now with the pandemic and the challenges, there's a lot of people feeling, am I safe at work? Or how many waves of this are we going to get? And burnout is going to get higher and higher with healthcare workers. So I thought it'd be appropriate to pick Elizabeth's brain and see what services she offers and resources she has available for people.
Hi, Leslie. So good to see you.
Thank you.
So I am, I'm so excited to be here. I love your channel and I'm so excited about what you're doing. I think it's so cool. I think I can relate. Before becoming a life coach, I was also a psychotherapist. And as a psychotherapist especially, I can relate so much to midwives. And I know we've spoken throughout the years and I just can relate really to what midwives go through with burnout and the healthcare system. And so just, I think women in general and healthcare, I think this is so needed right now. And I just love the idea of talking about burnout and making things more sustainable for us. So we are taking care of ourselves, you know, putting on our oxygen mask so that we can do our jobs and help others and make that a sustainable thing so we don't have to get burned out and not do what we were meant to do here on this earth. So I'm very thankful for what you're doing here.
Well, I appreciate you greatly. And that's what I'm learning is you give gratitude and you give any value you can to other people. And it creates such a level of empathy to, okay, this is what I can do in this situation. I'm quarantined. I'm remote access. I have knowledge. I have these amazing resources like you. So how can I connect and help out the greater masses, particularly midwives, because we have a lot that's going to happen, good and bad. And I want them to weather the storm, the waves, the surges and the uncertainty the pregnant women come with. And you've got to be able to protect yourself during that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I think you have to be able to protect yourself. And even when you say the word pregnant woman, you know, you're thinking of protecting her. And in order to do that, you have to be able to know how to protect yourself as well. It's like as a life coach or a therapist, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, you know, we have to, and as a midwife too, I mean, you have to be at some level okay with yourself and find your own way with what's going on in order to help other people.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. So some of the discussion that Elizabeth and I talked about were just some real life tips to help with what's coming, what's happening right now. I mean, in particular, you and I have a personal connection with burnout. I mean, you went through it 3 years ago. I went through it 2.5 years ago. And I think that's connected us more and it's bettered us. So if you want to talk about your side and I'll talk about my side.
Yes, I would love to. So Leslie and I have talked about this before, but so about 3 years ago, I really experienced burnout in my psychotherapy practice. And it was, you know, and looking back retrospectively, it was a gift because it really did motivate me to start doing life coaching. And I just told this to Leslie too. I recently was able to return to doing psychotherapy as well, along with my life coaching. And it's just been so different. I mean, I've gone at it with such a different attitude and I'm able to, it's just absolutely transform, you know, it's been transforming, but I'm so glad I'm glad that it happened when I look back because I have, it really motivated me to change and to look at things and to go into life coaching as well. And I think I found the perfect balance between the two of them. Well, it's nothing's ever perfect, but perfect for me. So I think one of the things that I started experiencing, and I think this is something that I think this, you could probably relate to this too, Leslie, is when I started to, I think if you want to, you know, you ask yourself if you are burned out or if you're not. And I think an early sign to see that it's coming is when you start, instead of being thankful for your job and for this, you know, that you have this gift that you can help others, you start seeing yourself as a victim. And when that starts happening, I just feel like that's like one of the early signs just to become aware. I always say that you can either, you have three choices. You can change a situation, you can leave a situation, or you can change the way that you're thinking about the situation. And so sometimes, you know, burnout is real, but sometimes also just, you know, questioning your viewpoint and asking yourself, am I seeing myself as a victim here? And trying to not see yourself as a victim and turn that into something that you can be grateful for instead.
No, I think those are great tips. And sometimes it's hard because if you get, like, by the time I realized I was in burnout, it was such a deep, dark place. It wasn't the early stages. Like, I didn't recognize it was that I'm strong, I'm tough, I'll just keep getting through this. I'll survive till this level. And I'd hit that level and I would be like, oh, in a timeline, because I'm a futuristic person, it didn't get better. And then it got me in a darker place. Like, okay, I waited. I was just pushing and pushing and avoiding this wall that I finally just had. I felt like this dam finally broke. I couldn't push it away anymore. And I don't want people to be in that place. I want you, when you start feeling like the cracks in the dam and things are starting to kind of go over the top, you want to say, okay, I'm going to make a better dam. I'm going to make a better wall of protecting me, because we can't be good midwives. Like, I remember dreaded being going to births. I remember dreading, not that the women, they were amazing births, but when my phone rang, it didn't matter if it was my mom calling or if it was a woman in labor, and this was an exciting thing to her in the world, my heart would just sink. It would absolutely sink, because I lost that love of why I became a midwife. And I'm grateful I have it again, but it's strengthened me. It's really made me go back to the basics of who I am and finding my sole purpose and finding, like, at the moment it sucked. It just totally sucked. But I have a spirit where I'm like, I fight till the bitter end. And I went back to the basics. I was like, okay, I don't like where I am. This is what I love about why I chose to be a midwife. This is why I'm frustrated with healthcare. This is why I'm frustrated with business ownership. What can I do? And that was literally just the going back, how do the rich make money? How do you run a business? And just stepping back to my root. Like, I hadn't had a kid for 7 years and I wanted a large family. Like, that was eating away at my soul. And so I had to step back and join hospital practice for a while and just focus on what made me happy again. And it was hard for a little while, but in the long run, I'm so grateful I went through what I did.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. It got dark for me too, you know, and it's scary. And in this society, you know, we are programmed to just keep going and keep going and keep going. And that's now, when you're dealing with something like burnout, that is not the answer. One of the things that I've always struggled with, I think this is probably common with a lot of people. I know this is common with a lot of therapists. I'm not sure with midwives, but a lot of us are introverts and we don't. So burnout, it has a lot of similar symptoms as depression, right? And that kind of goes along with it. So when we're feeling depressed, this is just a little psychology here. Our mind wants to keep us feeling that way. Like, subconsciously, it wants to keep us feeling that way. So what do? We stay at home. We have to stay at home now, but you know what I'm saying, if you don't have to. We stay at home. We'll stay isolated. We don't reach out to people because our brain is feeling depressed and it's wanting subconsciously to stay that way. So you have to do the opposite of what you want to do. Meaning, for me, one of the huge things that helped is reaching out for a mentor, for a coach, for you know, somebody who is in the business, like what you're doing, reaching out for support, even if it's just emotional support, that is huge.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, when I was in my dark place, I mean, I was having suicidal thoughts. If it wasn't for you and my support family, I honestly don't think I would be here right now. Like, and that's scary to think you get that close. And what if you don't have a life coach? What if you don't have a counselor or a support system, especially in today's healthcare system? It's harder and harder to get those resources. So I was very fortunate to have it. And I mean, I truly believe, like, life coaches and health coaches are kind of like the next level of alternative therapy people just don't know much about. And I've honestly, like, over the years, now we've been more touching base, but it was individualized. We talked every couple of weeks and we stretched it to every month. And now it's every 6 weeks. And it was an amazing, I can customize it. Your positivity and consistent warmth and support had really helped me through everything. And I wish more people had the opportunity to look into a life coach and have that as a resource for preventing burnout and going through it.
Well, thank you, Leslie. I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I think absolutely. It's amazing how empowering it can be to share with somebody else and to get somebody else's viewpoint. You know, somebody who is not your family, who is not your husband. Our husbands cannot deal with our burnout. We are the ones who have to deal with it. And if we put it on them, it just doesn't, you probably know this, it just doesn't work.
Well, you need a professional. I mean, I really like the aspect that you had the counselor background, because I wanted somebody that wasn't just going to pay and tell me what, like I picture with a counselor, you sit on the chair and they're drawing pictures on the piece of paper. Like I wanted somebody that fit a balance of the holistic side. Like I really, especially being a midwife. And so I think your services are so phenomenal and they're coming more and more out. It's kind of that alternative for counselors, in my opinion. And so having your resources and tools and accountability was just amazing.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. It's okay. I'll put in, we all understand the internet is a little different every single place. So no worries. So I wanted you to just go into detail some common things. Like if you have your first encounter with somebody that's starting to get burnout or in burnout, what would be some simple things to start now, especially if someone's listening to this video and's like, okay, that sounds like me, Leslie, you're telling about your story. What do I do about it?
Yes. So some simple things, you know, just to start. And I think too, you know, there's so many resources for free online as well when it comes to this stuff. So that just like this video, I think doing something like this is, you know, reaching out, even if you don't have the finances right now, but reaching out for the things that are free, there's so much available. But so, yeah. So what I would tell somebody who is just starting to experience burnout or is in the middle of it is, first of all, that first thing that I said about looking at are you seeing yourself as a victim, and keeping track, you know, keeping a diary, keeping track of your thoughts. What are your thoughts about your job and about yourself? A lot of times we tend to think, you know, we get frustrated maybe with the healthcare system or whatever is going on. And we tend to tend to turn that frustration out on ourselves. We tend to tell ourselves, you know, that we're not cut out for this. We think it's always going to be like this and there's something wrong with us. And so it's important to start paying attention to those thoughts, because again, that's going to cause depression. It's instead of seeing this as something that's temporary. We want to make sure that we're not seeing this as something that's constantly all the time. When you're in the middle of it, it feels it's so real, and it feels like it's happening always, all the time, your whole life. And the truth is it really isn't. So yeah, so I always keep track. I always recommend keeping track of your thoughts about yourself, your thoughts about your job. I always say our thoughts cause our feelings, you know, so just keeping track of what our thoughts are and what feelings those thoughts are causing can be a huge first step. The other one, you know, reaching out for a mentor, reaching out for somebody who can, you know, in the psychotherapy field, we call it supervision, reaching out to another midwife, somebody who can relate and can understand. The other thing is making sure that you're not comparing yourself to others. Comparing yourself to others invites misery into your life. So we need to go inward and ask, what is our definition of success? What is a successful day to you? Not what is it, you know, we have been brainwashed into thinking that success is something, you know, something that somebody else tells us that it is. No. What is success to you? What are you looking for? When I first started even doing life coaching, I had so many people, you know, wanting to help me with my business, but it wasn't what I wanted. They had their idea of what they wanted for my business. And no, it wasn't what I wanted for my business. So it's okay. If you want something small, you know, don't compare yourself to somebody else who has this many patients. How many patients do you want? What's a successful day for you? What is that sweet spot? You know, I think as a therapist or as a coach, I would compare myself. Oh, that person can see this many clients a week, and I just can't do that. You know, my sweet spot is going to be different than what somebody else's is on their caseload. And that's fine. There's something wrong with that. It doesn't mean I'm a failure or we don't need to give it that meaning.
Yeah, I was making lots of notes when you were talking because I didn't want to interrupt you. But one of the things when you were talking about that mindset, you've told me over and over again, when I would have my panic attacks and I would be in this corner in my mind, you compared the Jewish concentration camp. And like, there was very specific stories of people having everything taken away from them. And their diaries talk about their mind, how they're still positive and they're still, nobody can take away your mind. Nobody can control your mind. Even though you're feeling really controlled, you're the only one that could do that. And so those, when we feel out of control, the basic thing, we can control our breathing. We can control how our mind thinks, no matter what's going on in the world. And then it gets you to be able to grow from that. Because that's what part of my internal anxieties are. I used to be so vulnerable to external controls. I would let them get internal quickly, and you helped me decipher that. And it was amazing how, like, okay, when I'd start getting my guard down, I'd be tired and too many things happen. Going back to the basics and giving that comparison of how powerful our mind was really helpful.
I love how you say going back to the basics, because I think that's so important. This world, we complicate everything. And the answer usually is pretty simple. And sometimes we're like, this is too simple. It's too much common sense. That's here. This can't work. Well, it does. I agree with that, with going back to the basics. And the thing about our minds and our thoughts and our feelings is they seem to happen so automatically and so quickly that we don't realize that they're choices. So when I say our thought is a choice, what are you choosing to think? It doesn't mean, and this is not about like blaming yourself and being like, why am I doing this to myself? I know I could do it differently. That's the other side of this, right? So no, it's just about starting to realize and see that your thought is a choice. Nobody can, we're not trying to control our thoughts. Nobody can do this perfectly, but you know, we can start to guide our thoughts in a better direction. Once we know that they're a choice, we can start gently guiding them in a better direction, a more helpful direction.
Well, and I think it's getting people out of their comfort zone. Like you were so encouraging when we talk about habits or routines or most of the stuff's in your mind. If you're afraid of public speaking because you're afraid of what somebody's going to think, or maybe this person you don't want to have a conversation with because you think they don't like you, you think it's going to go bad. But then after you have it, you're like, what was I so worried about? Like, it's getting us, and that gets easier with time. Every time you put yourself into a more challenging situation and you get a positive reinforcement from it, you tread water into more habit changing. Like, I think healthcare workers, we have a hard time with change. Things are changing so often. But once you start switching change and mistakes to positive lights and opportunities to grow faster and to create what you want to create, that's in our mind. And so that's where I've loved just that morphing shift of you and many resources I've had over the years. So
yes, we were talking about this before, that uncertainty is the gateway to possibility. Yeah. It's something I learned from a book called The Fear Cure by Lisa Rankin. Mm-hmm. And she talked about how we have, you know, we're brought up with these beliefs, and one of them that cause a lot of fear, and one of the beliefs that we're brought up with is uncertainty is unsafe. And man, Leslie, like right now in the world, I think we're feeling that. And it's not that I can perfectly feel, it's not that I don't feel that anymore. I have to say that I'm not perfect at any of this stuff. I'm very open about that. But we're feeling uncertainty is unsafe. She calls it a courage cultivating truth. The opposite of that is that uncertainty is a gateway to possibility. So if we can start, you know, uncertainty can open our minds. It means anything is possible. So if we can start shifting, again, I can't do this perfectly. I experience fear, you know, but if we can look at it, no, wait, this could be exciting. Uncertainty is a gateway to possibility.
Yeah. It's so switching whatever, that positivity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it just gives us a positive outlook on it. So whatever change we're going through, I mean, nobody likes that uncertainty. I went back into my office on Monday, and it was the first time in months, you know, and I was feeling anxious. It just was, you know, it's just unsettling and unnerving what's going on in the world. But if we can just consciously choose to guide ourselves in that direction and see that there's other possibilities, that's why the burnout or whatever you're going through can really lead to so much growth and really can guide you into the direction that you're supposed to be in. It doesn't last forever.
Yeah. I think having the professional development and just investing in ourselves and our mind and valuing who we are to that next level makes a huge difference. I know when you were talking about comparing ourselves, it's hard now that everybody's quarantined. It was bad enough on social media and Facebook, and everybody would look, oh my gosh, this person's doing this and they're so amazing. Like, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole because you only see this little, it's like a movie, you know, they're only going to show you the best stuff. They're not going to show you all the other stuff. And we have to take it realistically. And so, yeah, try not to go down that rabbit hole of social media and like comparing ourselves to other people, because your situation is completely different than that person's situation. And when something happens in life, are you looking at it as positive and that this is a way to evolve to the next level, that, or are you looking at it as like, well, this just sucks. Midwives are fighters. So I don't think we're going to be looking at it as an opportunity. I mean, 2020 is the year of the midwife, and there is so much opportunity with the pandemic and out of hospital births, and there's such a huge need worldwide to give normal, safe care. Go back to the basics. That's what everybody's getting to. Everybody is wanting to simplify their life, make sure they're safe, they have good food, they have good health, and they want their families to be safe. So I look at it as this massive, I mean, the pandemic is terrible. I don't want to understress that at all, but midwives have this amazing opportunity if we can handle the challenge. And so that's why I was like, if we can help with the burnout and switch it in our minds of, okay, we've got all this stuff to where I'm feeling very anxious at the hospital. If you were ever contemplating a private practice, this might be the time to shift into it. So
there you go. I love it. The year of the midwife. I love it. I love midwives.
Thank you. Is there anything else you could suggest? I loved all those tips. I took lots of notes. The one thing I wanted you to dive more into was more of like those objective goals or specifics. Like, the words that popped into my head were like wealth and success. We define our own success in our mind. So is there any other words that you could have people do as mantras, which are those positive words to reinforce that you can define yourself and help stay positive when things are tough?
So repeat the question.
That's okay. So like, I'm thinking when you were discussing how it's in our mind and we're feeling challenges and comparing to other people, we had like, I think of the word success, like we define our own success, not what the other person is doing. We say they're successful and I'm not successful. That's a subjective definition. Are there other words that we could change to say like wealthy doesn't have a number by it? Success doesn't have an actual, like, are there other words in life that people could put on their vision board to help bring a positive journey that's not going to make them feel, okay, I've got to hit $1 million. Like, that's a hard number. Everybody knows what that is. This is what I define as success. This is what I define as wealth. This is what I define as who I am, my sole purpose, those kind of words.
Yes. Okay. So I get what you're saying. So I think, I'm thinking of like emotions too. You know, we think of like success as a wealth, as a number, and you know, you could define what that is for you. But I think for me, I look at like my monthly goals as my emotional goals. You know, how do I want to feel? That's, to me, that's more important than anything. Physical, you know, emotional, physical, wealth, career, all of those things, I think are words that could trigger, could trigger our minds to figure out what it is that we want. But I think the key is just to ask ourselves how it is that we want to feel this month, what it is that we want to be giving this month, what it is that we want to be receiving this month. Does that make sense?
I love it. Yeah. The emotional side, because that's a very internal, we can control. Like, yes, you're starting to get a panic attack, breathing and taking slow deep breaths, you can control some of your emotions, and those are more subjective things. Somebody can't tell you how to feel, or this person's happy and this person's happy can be totally different. So I love that analogy.
Yes, I think, and I don't know if this is another topic, but it's something else that I've been thinking of was, you know, not, Leslie and I are trying to be, we're trying to spread positivity right now. And, you know, and it's not that we obviously take what's going on in the world very seriously, and we, you know, and it's awful what's been happening. So I think we can look at it almost, you know, burnout too, kind of compared to what's going on in the world. It's a trauma, and, you know, and we all have different, we all have different levels of trauma. We all have different different thresholds. And so, you know, I think this is just a really a time to be compassionate right now in the world. And if we're considering burnout as a midwife, it's just a time to really to be so compassionate to ourselves.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like going back to those basics of love and compassion and helping out your neighbor and your friends and your community. I've looked at the blessings in my life that have happened the last couple months of getting back to the basics of life was so crazy and busy and I'm doing all these things. And then once it's those hierarchy of needs, like if you worry about your basic survival and safety, you go back to the basics. You don't worry about all these things on top, and it gets you a better, stronger foundation to grow from. So I found it to be very helpful and just find what matters most in life. And really when push comes to shove, people realize that themselves. And what is your purpose? What is your reason for being here? Because life is too short.
Yes, I agree.
So just some basics, like I know as midwives, we know really well nutrition, good eating, exercise, sleep are all important things. We tell our patients and our families that all the time, but is there anything that you can say creatively, like simple steps that the midwife could start today? Like I loved your sticky notes you gave me. You just said, okay, put a sticky note on your mirror in the bathroom that says you are a good mother, you are a good midwife. And then it just, you see it and you just, those are simple little things. So if you have any other suggestions to help to remind us of how amazing we are and the things we do.
Yes. I mean, I love like morning mantras. I have them by my bed, a sticky note of morning mantras, you know. I'm going to start this day with gratitude. I'm grateful for the air that I'm breathing right now. Starting the day with those morning mantras, and then also ending, I have bedtime mantras that I say, and I say them out loud. My husband hears me say them. You know, I think to hear your voice out loud say these things, it just helps to set your mindset for the nighttime or for the day. So I think little things, and it's whatever. So then it could be specific for you, you know, whatever it is. Like, I am a great midwife. I think that three things that went right today and why, you know, that's a great exercise for midwives thinking about, we tend to go to bed thinking like, oh, this went wrong, this went wrong, this went wrong. Well, no, let's change our brains to focus on what went right today and why, because when you add the why, you will see that how much you do during the day that you are making things go right. So that those three things that went right today and are extremely powerful. It's been scientifically proven to help you to think more optimistically. So yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree wholeheartedly. There's tons of research because when you say it out loud, you're more accountable. Your brain believes it more. It's crazy. And the more emotion you add behind it, like when you say, I'm a good mother versus you yell it, I'm an amazing mother. Like the emotion behind it, there's so much with business side of the successful people, just as much as getting yourself empowered. And so it's crazy the power of just yelling and adding your emotions to your words, not just saying it in your mind, makes a huge difference.
Yes, I love that. I am an amazing mother. You know, what husband does not want to come home and hear his wife saying those things about herself? My husband loves it. I am historically very negative. I've had to learn all of this stuff, which is why I had to do what I do, because I've been on the other side. I've had to learn it. And nobody likes hearing you rip on yourself all day, talk about negative things. Your kids, your husband, they're going to love hearing you say positive things about them yourself. And it's teaching them to do it, to think positive things about themselves. You know, they say that you should tell your children what you want to be told too. So I think it's the same with yourself. You know, tell yourself things that you want your children to and absorb that and to do that themselves.
Yeah, it's that positive affirmations is a ripple effect. Like I have found, like we think, oh my gosh, my husband's cranky, and it's actually me that's putting off the energy that's just getting it back at me. And so shifting, like, I can't control this situation, but I can control me. So if I put a smile on my face and I let go of the things that I can't control and go back to the basics and just being nice and grateful and appreciative, the rest of the day goes so much better. Like, it's amazing. At first you think it's a little science experience, be like, that sounds too easy. And then once you start playing around with it, you're like, I'm going to tell more thank yous. I'm going to tell more, because I grew up in that mindset where you work hard and you just do it. You don't give compliments. You don't, and nothing's wrong with that, but that's, you think it in your head all the time, but you don't outwardly say it. So I've had to shift culturally. Like, I appreciate you and I am grateful for XYZ. And I'm not used to saying that, but it's made a profound difference in my life with my relationships, my business connections, just starting out by saying, I appreciate you.
Yeah. You know what else it does? It opens your mind to creative solutions or creative possibilities for your life. I would have never thought I would be on YouTube making videos. Like, I never liked being in front of the camera, nothing. Because I was so negative, I couldn't even think about those possibilities. So once I started thinking more positively, I thought, man, there's so many different possibilities for my life that I might not be taking advantage of. And it really allowed my mind to think more creatively.
Perfect. Well, I'm so excited you're in my life, and I will definitely put at the bottom of the YouTube video the link to your resources, your services, and I'm assuming your website has a lot of great resources and connections. You said there's a lot of free things.
Yeah. So you go on yourhighestlight.com and you'll see I've got some free goodies there. And a whole blog, a bunch of blog posts about stuff like this.
Perfect. Yeah. Honestly, that constant beacon of light with positivity has just been a value. And having, like, when you have your ups and downs, I look forward, I'm like, yes, I get my talk with Elizabeth. And so I really encourage anybody that's wanting to prevent burnout, is hinting at burnout or in a dark place, having a life coach, having somebody that doesn't just focus on health or counseling or one aspect, that whole person, that holistic mind, body, and soul has been really powerful.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you very much. You have a great day, Elizabeth.
You too. Bye.